moving to oneness. Nourishing curiosity. Embracing differences. Becoming one.
Being eclectic is fun. And today I'll tickle that out of you with my fantastic guest. So stay tuned to the Moving to Oneness episode and feel welcomed by me, Maileen Elke, your host. And from the Pacific side, or I should say the Pacific Ocean of the US, I have Raja Vaidya with me, who really has also so many talents, and you will be astonished of the wisdom he brings to the world. Welcome, Raja, to Moving to Oneness.
Thank you so much, Maileen, and I want to say to the audience out there, thank all of you for being here and paying attention. You get a ring of the victory bell, and truly, when we all listen and we raise each other up together, that's when we all win together. And that really is one of my main missions in life, is so that we all win.
Yeah, that's what attracted me to you, Raja. When I heard you, and I love that you use the bell because it's fun. You create fun.
It is.
Yeah. You have a way of really tuning into people and seeing where they are, and then you just you bring them up into a higher vibration, because you can come from so many different angles, and it's so important, really, from your heart to do this for others.
Gotcha. Okay. And here's the thing I think about, is that a lot of us don't realize that we've been brainwashed or trained or encoded by our culture, by our upbringing, by our schools, by our coworkers, by social media, by our friends even. And what happens is we get used to thinking a certain way, and very few of us break out of that. And in my book, I talk about how to unbox those fears and how to unbox that mindset. And really what I talk about is black belt mind shift. And when you allow yourself to kind of get stuck in between all that, when you get stuck in that, that's when people start to get complacent, and then they start to feel this unfulfilledness as they go through life. And I know I started feeling that. And I remember after I was in a bad car accident back in 2015, and I started my own personal transformation after that, because my car got totaled, my head smashed the windshield. I had glass in my head for 6 months, and one eye was slower than the other eye for over a year, and I couldn't turn my head to the left for 2.5 years. So I started to get upset. I gained a lot of weight. I gained 70 pounds, and it was horrible. My whole life felt like my life got stolen from me. And so I had to find a way to break through that. So me being a martial artist, anyway, to me, I think you have to be like the warrior. You have to be like the samurai warrior. You have to keep fighting. You have to find a way. Even if you're down, it's okay. Everybody falls down. The key is you keep getting back up. So I knew I took a big hit. I was down, but I wasn't going to stay down. So the point there was I had to find a way to bring myself back up. So I started reading, getting coaches, doing mentorship, going to seminars and summits, and getting in touch with like-minded and positive-minded people. And all of a sudden I realized, wow, life is not what I thought it was. And I was not the person that I really wanted to be. And as I evaluated and reevaluated who I was, I realized I could do so much more.
Oh, that is the intriguing many questions. But who's the person, Raja, you want to be? And is that a changing? So who would say before And who did you realize you wanted to be?
That's a great question, Mylan. And here's what it was. When I look back, when I reflect upon my life now, and I think looking back, gosh, I wish I could tell myself from 20 years ago, stop chasing achievements and start connecting with people. That is the
Oh, I love
major
that. Heart
difference I
connection.
do now, is that my whole life I've been a type A personality. And here's the reason, the background of me. I was born in India. I came to America when I was very young. So I'm a first generation Indian in America. And so my parents were first generation. My dad is a dentist, and my mom took care of the house. She's a homemaker. And they both gave us a really good life, and they really did their best. And were they perfect? No. But I realized even throughout that, though, that because of their expectations in like Asian culture, academics is very, very high. So as I said, Roger, why'd you get an A minus? Oh, why'd you get a B? That's a bad grade. So it trained me to think. Remember, I was programmed just like we all are from a young age. What's important is grades. What it's important is achievements. Doesn't matter what else you do, as long as you start achieving something. So that's what I did. I achieved, and I sacrificed connections with people. I sacrificed my opportunities to have, tighter friendship. There were a lot of things that I sacrificed just in the name of achievements. So now I have a long list of achievements growing up, which is not a bad thing. But I also sacrificed a lot to get those. And now when I look back, I think, wow, I'm still proud of everything I achieved. I got into the a gifted program. I got into the choir, and because my singing or because my speaking, I wanted to find some places where else I could shine. That's why I did karate, and that's why I did choir. It's so that I don't have to talk. So in karate, in 16 years old, I made it to world championships, and I placed. So then I made a 2-year plan to go to,
Congratulations.
thank you. So then I made a 2-year plan to go to the Olympics, and I did it. I qualified for the Olympic teams 3 months after my 18th birthday. But my parents said, Raja, you have a scholarship to college. That's more important. You're not Bruce Lee. So guess what I did? I gave up my dream.
Yeah,
I
you
was,
follow their dream and you
yeah,
know.
exactly. So because I was programmed, like a lot of us growing up, to believe what my parents, that's what I did. So instead of doing that, what I found out was that there was something missing in my life. I had tons and tons of trophies and awards, and I was a straight A student. I did get the scholarship to college, which I have other achievements ever since then too. I mean, now I'm a 6-3 black belt. I'm in the Black Belt Hall of Fame, and I don't deny any of those things. But I missed the opportunity to have a little bit more balance in my life that would have made me happier. Because I think a lot of us, when I look back and think achievement, 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 straight A, type A personality versus now, I think, yes, work hard, but don't sacrifice the connection, which actually what gives you the fulfillment. Because now what I do is every single day, and this is something that you can practice with your families or your loved ones. Every day I come home at the clock from work, I tell my kids, Evan, Ava, where's my 5x5? And what that means is, at 5 o'clock, I come home. When I come through the door, they have to drop what they're doing, and they have to come give me a 5-second hug. And it's usually a 10-second hug. I just hold longer. So I cheat the system, right? So it's a five by
That's a
ten.
good idea because I remember a long time ago, the more tactful we are with children and also animals, and animals do that to their children,
Yes,
the
they do.
longer you're tactful, the more intelligent they become, the more alert they are, and you make them more ready for the world. So it's not always just the, as you said, the
Yeah.
schooling and the teaching. It's only part of our life. And, you know, for example, you did all this. I did some martial arts too, but I never made it to the Olympic. That's a whole other story. I always thought I couldn't do martial arts. And luckily, one woman believed in me and I did enjoy it then for 4 years, extremely. And, but it is this movement, this other way of getting to know yourself and your ability, what our body can do. And I think what you did also helps then, or helped you then in your scholar directions, right? And as you said, you're a type A person. I would even take away the type A person, the typing, like what we tell people what they are, but
yeah.
It's only when we observe them for a while or we don't know who they are, right? You have a heart for science, right? You became a scientist then in your own. But the connection you had in your martial arts, but if you think about it, you had it, but it was more a connection to like a fighting, not so much a connection, depends on the teacher also and what kind of martial arts. But you were trained for again, their competition probably, right, by your teacher.
I did, yeah. But beyond that, I realized later on too, it's like, now I've been in martial arts. Next year, I hit 40 years in the martial arts, and I get my grand master's rank. And I tell people that, look, even though I'll be a seventh degree grand master, I just tell my friends call me Raja, because it's I don't need the title. I tell the adult class, just call me by my first name, just call me Raja. If you really want to, Mr. Vaidya, but I don't need the titles, because it's not about me showing how amazing I am. That doesn't matter. What it matters is how many people have I helped around me. And I've made lots and lots of black belts because I've had that attitude about how can I help you?
Self-esteem, you know, to build self-esteem for other people. And when you say help, what I understand there, that you goes out them, and because what does martial arts? It makes you a person that is not sufficient. I don't want to say that, but it makes you sovereign. It makes you walk a little straighter already, the muscles you build over time. But also that you're not so fragile. And I think that's a gift we should give a lot of people as we educate, that they know they can do things and that they're worth something and that they're important.
Yeah. And you touched upon a very important fact, is like, you know, that you can show that you can do things. I think like in the martial arts, I think people mistake who are not in it. They think that the goal of the martial arts is to get that black belt, and be able to beat people up. And that's actually far from the truth. It's like you want to be able to be able to have the potential to defend yourself. But the longer you're in the martial arts, the less you want to fight, except for fun in class.
Yeah,
you know, and that's it. And one of the things I tell people, there's a unique perspective between confidence and self-esteem. And you touched upon that as well. So what I used to give out when I owned my, so I was head instructor for my teacher for 25 years. Mm-hmm. Then I opened up my own karate school. So when I had my own karate studio, what I used to tell people is that, what I used to tell the parents is that there's a difference between confidence and self-esteem. Confidence is what we show other people, how we look. It's sort of like the veneer of what people may think of you. Self-esteem is what we think about ourselves. And a lot of times you can have people with high confidence and low self-esteem. And those are the people, when they finally get stressors in their life, some sort of challenge, that's when they break. Because it's sort of like a veneer table. It looks like wood, but you put a heavy weight on it and it breaks, because it's really not solid wood yet, is it? So what I tell the parents is the unique aspect of the martial arts is not that you get to learn to fight. You know, yes, you'll learn self-defense. It's that you learn to overcome obstacles and become the next version of yourself as a result.
Ah, that's beautiful.
And as a black belt, you are both a leader and a role model. And in very few sports can you do that. Because not only are you a leader to others, you're a leader for yourself, because it changes your own self-image. That self-esteem is built through you achieving yellow belt, orange belt, green belt, purple belt, brown belt, and then all the way up to black belt. And, you know, every martial arts style has a different color belt system. That's not the point. It doesn't really matter. What matters is these are steps on the way to mastering your understanding of oneself. When you understand oneself, that's when you understand more of what is around you.
I love that.
Yeah,
and I would like to take that a step further. If I think about, I love that like the black bit is just like a stepping stone, and then you mentioned, you know, you're in there, I don't know, 35 years longer, 30 years longer, as you're now as the Grand Master. But then it goes into philosophy of life, or into an understanding of culture. It goes larger, and probably most, you know, go in a little bit of air. Then you learn a whole a wisdom of our ancestries and even further back, and comparison, because martial arts are in countries. It's an art of interaction, if you think about it, and when to move and not to move.
So that's really the thing too. Mm-hmm. Once you get good enough, like I've been in it now for 40 years, and now when you think about somebody was asking me, like, what do you do if someone tries to punch you? I said, well, first of all, if it got to the point where someone's trying to punch me, I'm in the wrong place, right? So that's the first mistake. But first of all, I'm not going to try to make that mistake in the first place. Second thing is, if someone is trying to punch me, it's easy. I move. I say, well, what if they keep doing it? Well, get out of the way. That's all. See, listen, it takes 1% effort to deflect something. It takes 100% effort to try to force something back at somebody. And a lot of us are wasting energy mentally fighting with people in our minds and in our souls, because we think we have to be right, instead of learning to either deflect or accept and understand the other person. So I shifted from when, after my car accident and everything that happened, I had to close my karate school. And so once I did that, I shifted to online coaching. And I think this is a good segue where we can talk a little bit about that, because that, I think, I love it just as much as the karate, if not even more, because now I get to impact more people faster. I can now impact thousands of people at once through a summit or a seminar, and I can create that mind shift even easier. Like right now, I'm going to do a 1 or 2 day summit, but then the next live retreat I do, with the live workshop, is going to be a 3 day event where I get to work with people live and help them with their mind shift, you know, in person. And it's so much fun seeing the change in their minds. And because people, you can tell by the tone of their voice. Now, the reason why I understand this, I've been singing. I'm a classically trained opera singer. So when you hear me, you hear that voice.
And, yes.
You know, there's a certain power about it. There's also a certain power in, I don't have to talk like this every day to be powerful and be a leader. I can if I want to, but that's not what I'm trying to do. I'm not trying to prove that I'm a better than anybody. I'm not. So I'm trying
No, to- you're not. You have something in your heart. I've been thinking just while I'm listening to you. You have a purity of really supporting people to become who they are, and it's so much fun to you, because you are in German I would say du freust dich, so you really are so joyful about when someone else blooms, and it doesn't matter,
and you watching that growth in somebody,
and you love saving people's life. It's, you know, when you were in the cancer research there, and this transformation to make people glow, something is about you, and you don't think so much even about yourself. I would like to really pull that out a little, everyone. If you have heard maybe Roger stutter a little bit, the little speech impediment does not hold him back. Also, when he was when you were singing in your voice, there came also this not knowingness of your life experiences, right? And you also build your chest open because you learn so well to breathe, that to really be in tune with your body through the singing, through the martial art, but also because through your education. And I think and then we don't care about ourselves. There is something about a being, in my eyes, Rajam, maybe in your eyes too. If that heart is so open that one doesn't care about oneself, but only what is in front, whoever is in front of them. If it's a person or nature, then that really doesn't make a difference, I've learned. If it's there, and the people sense it. People sense it. They don't care then even about how we speak. Raja, you know, I'm also dyslexic. I mix up my languages, my English and German, and then a
That's
few
okay.
other dialects. I
Sometimes I
never
mix up
can
English and
speak
my
a pure
Gujarati as well,
sentence.
and I get it.
Yeah. And then, you know, even when I channel, I have the most awkward beings chant. But that opens up for something else. And if you're listening or watching us right now, you have a special talent, and mostly these things that are seem so awkward or where you think you are different than others, that is your uniqueness, and build up on that. And
I
Raja, I know you sprudeled, you're bubbling to share so much wisdom. It's really to go for it, because people sense your intention. They feel your vibration, they feel your intent, and so they become patient because they want to know more about you and not what you, I mean, also what you bring, but what producing, yeah, so it's something like that I
Well,
want to say.
I here's the thing. Here's the simplest way I think I'm evolving as a human being now is I'm more at peace with myself than I ever was my whole life. And honestly, I think that is the one thing that a lot that escapes a lot of people. They say, "Oh, I got money and I got cars and I got houses and I got a beautiful wife or a beautiful husband or and look at all these great things I have. That's great." But still, they have all this worry and doubt and fear in their heart in inside their soul. Because the problem is they never learned to find peace with who they are. And honestly, like my wife and I, we fight all the time. Like fight as in we always bicker all the time. But this summer we just hit our 20-year anniversary. And anybody who's been married that long understands that marriage is not this precious, beautiful thing that is perfect and it grows more and there's all hearts and roses. No, it's a roller coaster ride and sometimes there's loops in it and sometimes the roller coaster goes off the track and it lands on the other side of the track and you know and it strengthens you because that relationship of going through those shared experiences, that's the good stuff. It's not the
Yeah,
stuff
and
we
it
see in these
pulled something
Hollywood
out of
movies.
us.
Yeah, and so by me now going through these sort of like problems and challenges and trauma and by the way, the if you look at this picture of my shoulder to my left last year versus 2 weeks ago, about a year ago, after a year, I just lost 48 pounds. So I
Yeah,
finally
so
after
everyone who's
6 years of
listening, you
trying.
better go over to the YouTube station Moving to Oneness, and so you can just see it. Yeah, that's the difficulty, right? If you by video, but Moving to Oneness on YouTube, people can watch your episode. Yeah, so that is beautiful to see. And this is important because you, as a martial artist and Olympian, for sure anyway, is our body, when we have a desire to bring something out into the world, we need to be in tune with our body. Sometimes our body does change so we can do whatever transformation we need to do. So sometimes we go a wide, but then suddenly there comes an intention, or where you know, now I have to. Not even a have to. You know, now is the time to go forward and create momentum. Then your body also adapts, and you go into a conversation and you build a beautiful relationship to your body. And so please be patient with your body. So if it's not where it is, there's still something small that needs to be adjusted or fine-tuned within you, or you have to have still some certain experiences to have a certain growth in a certain area. But once that all clicks in, and I think that all clicked in you, because when you spoke how much fun you have now to be online and supporting people globally, you were shining, your face was
I know.
changing, and
I
so
never
your
thought
whole
that I would be doing
body
this
goes
to
into
international
a
speaker.
rapture.
Who knew? Right? I never thought I'd be doing this 5 years ago. It's crazy to think a person who I was 5, 6 years ago is so different and so closed-minded and very closed off and unhappy. And now
No, I'm
I feel that I'm at peace with myself. I'm very happy. I'm fulfilled. And even last year, after 6 years of trying to lose all that weight, I kept failing and failing and failing. And then last year, I finally started to give without expectation. All of a sudden, I felt fulfilled. Everything started to change. And I think my body chemistry changed. And as a result, all of a sudden, it just started to come off. All of a sudden, life got easier and life got happier. And out there, like I'm going to give you a quick black belt mind shift here is that, you know, there's a lot of things in your life you have to do, but maybe you could flip it and say that there's a lot of things in life that you get to do. Because
Yeah.
then, when you flip that script in your brain, remember, we are programmed. So, we got to decide to take control of that programming. So, what's happening now, instead of saying you have to do something, you get to do something. That means
I
you
like
do it by
that.
choice. It's powerful. There's no resentment. There's no guilt. There's no baggage attached to it. It's because you made a choice to do something, you get to do something. I used to hate push-ups. Honestly, I used to hate doing push-ups. And then one of the black belts at my first karate school used to make me do push-ups because he knew he could punish me with them. And I used to get so mad at him all the time. He gets so angry. And then I realized one day, you know what? I'm gonna play a game on him. I'm gonna say, yeah, I like push-ups. And first time I said that to him, he was shocked. He's like, what? What? Are you crazy? Like, no, I like push-ups now. You know, so he said, fine, go do 10 push-ups. So I just did them. I said, thank you. And he started walking away and said, hey, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Do 10 more. I said, sure. I did them. I said, thank you. All of a sudden, I took away his power because I don't have to do push-ups. I get to do push-ups. And how many times in your life do you feel like, for example, if you have a job, here's an example I was just telling one of my VIP coaching clients, is that you don't have to work for an underpaid job. You're underpaid. That means you're overqualified. What that means is that they need you more than you need them. What that means is that you have greater potential than the location where you're at right now. That means that you have control of your destiny. And now you get to work at this company where you are more. And they don't realize it yet. And that's okay. Because what happens is that when you outgrow them, you are in control of your life because you've been underpaid and you're overqualified and you get to choose what to do next. Remember, once again, you don't have to. You get to be underpaid at a job that you work really well at. And that's a good thing.
That's a mind shift. That's really important. I had to think about when I did some martial arts, we had to do ones like 1,000 bows. I mean, full down to the ground, but getting back up, and or other difficult things where they said, yeah, do maybe a few hundred push-ups, and I had to think about the energy. My driver was really more energy moving through the body. That was always what got me. That's gotten so to speak. I wanted to. They always said, "Oh, if you go ahead in front and speak up about your experiences or what you felt when you were doing a certain exercises," and I said, "Oh yeah, super! Then I can have more energy." And that built up as so many things. I was more comfortable going up front. I was becoming more comfortable people looking at me when I wobble up to the front, speaking, voicing my ideas. Yeah, there's so many things when we say yes, or as you said, I get to. Yeah, I nudge in a way when you say I get to, it's the ability to nudge you forward step by step, or a little bit until you're more comfortable, and then you nudge yourself again, and then you can say somewhere else, oh, I get to. You know, we don't have to do it right away everywhere. It's maybe then overwhelming, but for sure, start in one point of life, in one thing of, if you know, work, relationship, health, wherever it is. I mean, Raja showed so many points, and you shared so much. I mean, you're like a chest bar, not a treasure box, because you have so much wisdom. I mean, talk about, you know, so many parts. For where can people reach you, or how to connect with you? Can you give us?
The best way to connect with me is my site is called victorymindsetacademy.com, victorymindsetacademy.com. You can go to my free coaching group. I do group coaching in there once a week for anybody and everybody. I just give pure value, no selling, no, I'm not going to ask for anything. And and that one is yournewnormals.com, yournewnormals with an S dot com. And the reason why I did that is that in the beginning I tried with, oh, sign up for the one-on-one with me, or sign up for my group, or buy my book first and then I'll give you something. And when I flipped it again, remember our mind shift, I don't have to, I get to. I don't have to give free coaching, I get to give free coaching because I get to help people. And as soon as I did that, all of a sudden everything exploded again for me. And
Yes.
so you remember last time we were talking about this, that last year, a year ago, back in August, I had just found out about some of these networking groups. At the time, I was doing, for the past 4 years, I've been doing just once a week, very small entrepreneurial coaching, just for my private clients once a week. 20 minutes of, how to set up an autoresponder, how to build a, how to use Canva, how to use with Camtasia, how to set up automations and an email drip campaign, and those kind of things. And but the problem was everybody kept jumping from shiny object to shiny object. I decided that I wanted to do something to show an example to my group and to my people that, I continue to grow too, and that's how I can give them value, is that because I'm learning, they're going to learn from me. And
Yes.
so I decided to, because I know like one of my friends owns a very active speaking group, and she has a program where if you pay a certain amount of money, it's a lot, she'll get you on, 100 stages in a year. And at the time, I didn't have a lot of money. I said, all right, I can't afford that program. But what if I just try to do 100 interviews in 6 months instead of a year? All right. Because at the time, I had some free time. I was in between jobs. I said, why not? You can't find 4 half-an-hour interviews in a week. There's only 2 hours a week. How many hours a week? How many hours you have in a week? 24 hours in a day, 184, what was that, in a week? I mean, so you have all this time. Why not take advantage? I started out, I told everybody I was going to do this 100 interview challenge, try to get it done in 6 months. And the first couple of weeks I started doing 3 shows a week. I was booked out for 3 months. I did 5 shows a week. I got booked out for 3 months. I did 10 shows a week. I got booked out for 3 months. And
Well.
then, at the peak, I just want to see. I had to hire a VA team because I couldn't, so I hired my VAs. And now, at some point, I just want to see where they would crack. So I did as many as I could in a 7 day period. I did 22 interviews in a
Ooh,
seven
that's a
day
lot.
period.
That's a lot of
Yeah,
energy.
and I said,
Now, this I don't want to interrupt you, but I think this is a very important point, everyone. So, but Raja, you're able to hold all of these different energies. That's 22 different interviews, the different people, intentions, not just also the podcaster or whoever you're being interviewed. Chini gives him, my cat gives his wisdom too. But it is also the audience. So it's also important, you're right. So you hold the energy for the audience who's listening. Again, that is also why you knew. Or your body needs to be fit to hold that and do that. So you went again into a great relationship with your body. So just a side note. So that's a lot of interviews.
Well, the other thing I also, the other thing I started to realize, and this is somebody, if you live your whole life not volunteer, you have missed out. So, and here's the best thing, the best time to start helping others was yesterday or 10 years ago or before. The next best is tomorrow. And
Yeah.
it's okay. You have no baggage. Nobody's going to guilt trip you. No one's going to blame you for starting later in life. And when I started helping people by giving them my stage, I didn't get 100. I did not get 100 interviews in 6 months. Sadly, that didn't happen. Instead, I got 204 in 5 months. So I blew completely past my goal. And now, after 12 months, I got over 250. And now, as I slow down, I'm gonna aim for 300, and I'll call that my power 300. You know, so we can say this is Sparta. You know, like the movie, and
Yeah.
just so we can hear the powerful 300. And and after that, I'm gonna shift my gears into focusing more upon business skills, getting these entrepreneurs to be successful, because I know there's so many frustrating things out there on the internet and people that have lied to them and taken their money, and I don't want them to suffer like that. I want to help them the right way. So I'm gonna form my next one, which would be the 6 to 7 show, and that'll be from 6 figures to 7 figures. That's what the six to seven.
I like it because while you did, this is also an important point. I think you started and over, and then you push yourself. I mean, you always, otherwise you have never been. I can see that going through your life, right? Not that you push yourself with, but if you look how possibility, you push
Yeah, like,
yourself in
let
a
me see if
way
it's possible.
to see
Why
if it's
not?
possible, and then it opens. But then you really dedicate yourself to that possibility, and that creates change in you, but it also creates the change in others. So that kind of energy really flows and goes way beyond what we ourselves do and takes on its own momentum. And
Yeah.
if you create joy, as so many people were so happy that you provided something for them to shine, that they get
Everybody's going to
seen,
eat.
right? And this is beautiful that we see each other. That goes back to what you said at the beginning, right? The most important part nowadays that you know what you have missed as when you were a child is building these stronger relationships and going into relationships with people maybe we don't know yet to learn more about them, and we learn more about ourselves, right? Right.
Well, think about it this way. When we, the reason why all that happened and worked, I mean, I don't think it was the fact that I did it. I think it's the fact that I changed people's belief system. And, you know, I have a program called Aim Higher, that helps people to launch their own shows. But I'm not here to sell anything. I just wanted to tell you that the subtitle of that was Break Impossible. Because a lot of people thought, oh man, Raja, the guy that has a stuttering problem, there's no way he's going to get 100 interviews by himself, trying to figure this out on his own in under 6 months. It's impossible. Well, I broke impossible.
So what's in you that you what is within you that you see always possibility?
I think part of it is because you hear me now as a product of years of mindset training and learning about NLP and masterminding and Toastmasters training and speaker training and writing a book, and now my fourth book coming out, and now a movie and a comic book series, and I'm, you know, in the future I would like to have my own TV show, and there's a lot of things happening now which I didn't believe in 6 years ago. So I had to go through a belief change. And a lot of us sometimes we forget that, you know, I tell my son this, you know, you can't be a dry sponge. What that means is, you know, when you take a dry sponge, you put it underneath the sink and you turn the water on really fast, what happens to the water? It doesn't go in the sponge. It just rolls right off because the sponge is too dry. The sponge doesn't want to take in water. And your mind is a lot like that. You have to sort of meet people where they are. You know, Sun Tzu said in the Art of War, you have to meet the enemy where they are. I've shifted that to think you have to meet the client where they are in their
Yes.
mindset.
Yes.
So by you being a dry sponge, you can't take in anything. Like another way of saying that is like your cup is already full. So instead of that, we have to start adding dropwise onto that sponge. And you have to warm up that sponge. And it takes a little bit of time because we've been crusty sponges our whole life. Right? And so instead of that, imagine that you're now warmed, you're primed.
Mm.
And now you're ready to take in that water. All of a sudden, that sponge can hold so much volume because
oh.
you allowed yourself to take in the knowledge.
Right? Ooh, I love that.
That's
what
it's all about. You know, like here's
for wisdom.
Yeah, I'll tell you one more example because like this is so true, and this is exactly the same reason in the martial arts. I knew I was going to be a world champion when nobody else believed me. So Roger Bannister back in the 1950s, the entire time, and he was a medical school resident at the time, and he believed that the human body could run under a 4 minute mile. Every single person in the world told him that's impossible. Your legs will break. Your heart will explode. You'll have an embolism. You'll crack a blood vessel. You know, it's just physically impossible for the human body to break 4 minutes. And for 100 years, everybody believed that. Then in 1950, I forget the year, 56 or 7, something like that, he did the impossible. He broke the 4 minute mile.
Wow.
And you
fantastic.
Know what happened in the next 5 years after that?
A lot of
17 more people broke the 4 minute mile. So what happened to human evolution?
Wow.
Did human evolution just explode in 5 years?
No.
No. Their belief system changed. It only takes one person to be the tip of the spear. When the tip of the spear goes through the target, that whole long handle of wood that follows can go right through also. And that's what happens when you finally create your mind shift. And I talk about this through the filter of like the martial arts, where I've seen over 40 years of people going from a white belt mind lock to a black belt mind shift. And that martial arts, that black belt mind shift, it's not about fighting. It is about making yourself open to the possibilities that you are capable of and your unlimited potential. And if, you know, I joke, when I do keynote speeches now, I have the announcers announce me as from the fighting city of a brotherly love, the kickboxing, opera singing, cancer scientist from Philadelphia, a speaker that can't write, Raja Vaidya.
Oh, I love that.
And think about how eclectic all of that is together. What? It doesn't make any sense.
Right, but that makes it fun again, right? We were talking about makes fun.
Hey, I go up on stage and I tell people, listen, I want you to count how many times I'm going to stutter. And if you get the right amount, I'll give you a free book at the end of the speech. And guess what? So then I also tell them, and by the way, also, I think God gave me this handicap, so I probably don't talk too much.
Yeah.
So now we're laughing about it, and they just forgot to start counting my blocks and repeats because now they're in on the joke. Now
yeah, and they're in you. They sense you.
Yeah. So we just created that connection. I don't have to worry about achievements now. Now I have to worry about the connection with people and let them listen to the smoothness of my voice. And let the opera come on out. I feel like my Barry White is coming out right here. You know,
ooh,
this is Coach
yeah.
Roger. Don't fake it till you make it. Instead, believe it and become it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Roger, this was fantastic for everyone. This man has something. It is really the mind shift you created, Raja, for yourself. I really thank you because it is
yeah.
creating mind shifts at the same time for many, many others, and you're supporting others to do that. And your story just catapults us forward, but it's also your passion and your dedication, as you said. And because you love relationships, everyone out there Create a relationship with Raja. It doesn't matter where you live in the world, doesn't matter who you are.
Yes.
You heard yourself. He loves eclectic. He loves differences, right? Because that brings flavor also to our life. And what's your last point or wisdom, point of wisdom for the audience, Raja?
I want to be a 99%. And what I mean by that is this: I want to make billions of dollars, and I want to donate 99% of it to solving world problems. And I truly, genuinely mean that. You know, because I don't need Lamborghinis and Ferraris and pretend I drink Cristal champagne out of a jet to go to places. I don't care. I still drive my Volt 120,000 miles on it, and the driver's side window stopped working, so I'm using tape to hold it up until I can fix it. You know, and somebody out there who's super fancy might say, "Oh my God, look at that fool. He's not successful." And what they don't understand is that I'm at peace with myself. I love myself more now than I ever did, and that makes it easy for me to connect with everyone in the world. And that's the kind of success that I want for all of you, is that be more at peace with yourself. Don't worry about what other people think about you. It does not matter, right? What really matters is that you do the most good that you can with the potential that is untapped in you, and go out there and start to just share that with the world. And you'll realize that that will be the fulfillment that you've been missing or hiding out from. And you know, it's time to unbox yourself from that fear and start to create that black belt mind shift in your life.
Thank you. I'll ditto a lot of parts of this, but you have a beautiful
way. It's been a fun
way.
Day. I mean, yeah, we did singing and talking. I got Barry White in there, and you know, there's, you know, I mean, actually, I got to talk about Les Brown. He's one of my favorite motivational speakers, and so I call him a motivational speaker. I call myself an inspirational speaker, because it's my story that inspires people and that stays with you longer.
And, yeah, experiences, genau.
Yeah. And you know, it's really more about this, is that, you know, the problem most people, like Les said, is that not that they aim high and they miss. The problem is that they aim low and they hit. They hit their goals because their goals are too low. You know, if we didn't try to land a person on the moon, we wouldn't have gotten out to the stars. Right? You know? But we wouldn't have the Titan Heavy with a Tesla Model S flying on the way to Mars, you know. And so, you know, who knows what's out there for us? You know, your
Ooh, that's a good one.
Unlimited. Your standards are, you know, you don't have to box yourself. I mean, like, listen to the title of my book coming out this year. Unbox Me Today. It's not a title. It's a call to action. Unbox Me Today. And when that comes out, I'll make sure I'll connect with you, and we'll give people
I would
the
love
first
that.
Opportunity to get the download links. But it's about those five pillars that, for me, so this is my opinion: health, wealth, mindset, faith, and family. And like a rising tide raises all the ships in your life. And guess what?
Yeah.
That ties into, that evolved into this Rising Tide Summit. Because entrepreneurs can help other entrepreneurs. You see the pattern I'm getting at now? See how
Yeah, we're not alone. That's what I speak a lot about. And the
it's
more
giving and
together and support each other, it's again creating community. And we've been too long, too separate, and that was hurting.
Yeah.
And coming together as community is a beautiful thing. Oh, you went once and now there you are again. Thank you, Raja, for your beautiful time on the
You're
Moving
welcome.
To Oneness podcast, for your wisdom, inspiration. And I think the big thing I take out, and for you, everyone out there, is you can be anything you desire to be, and go and set large dreams, nudge yourself step by step with small steps, right? Let yourself be helped by others, and share what you want to share with the world so people can come back and invite you and pull you up or push you forward when they believe as you in the direction you're going. And sometimes, even if you have to believe in your own way and others don't understand and can't support you, go ahead anyway and then pull them along with you. So, everyone, thank again. I want to thank Raja and for you for listening, for sharing your wisdom, to bringing a lot of fun to the show, and to you, the listener, for being here so we can have fun sharing it, because that's what
Thank
makes
you so much,
us.
Miley. I have a college roommate taught me only two lines of German. Das simmerische Schmutzig and das simmerische Sauber. So right
Yeah.
now, when you get fulfilled, simmerische Sauber.
So everyone, you have to take out now the dictionary to figure out what
I
it's does Zimmer is sauber. No, it does mean the room is clean, and you're gonna clean up your life in a way, get clarity and create space to fill it out with your brilliance and your radiance. So goodbye, everyone. Bye bye.
Thank you.